Okay, good morning. I am Dr. Blunt-Vinti, and I am an assistant professor at the University of Arkansas in the program of health behavior and health promotion. And I'm going to be talking today about some of my research. My presentation is titled Tell Them or Show Them Verbal and Nonverbal Communication Use During Sexual Activity. And let me first say I have no relationships to disclose. So we know, and including from some of the presentations already today, that communication can influence lots of different aspects of sexuality. So, you know, as Dr. Crosby was talking about, negotiating protection, negotiating different sexual boundaries that you may have, activities you're willing to engage in and that you're not, consenting to sexual activity, communicating sex education, and also related to sexual satisfaction, where is what I'm going to be focusing on. So we know that communication is related to sexual satisfaction, and this is true for both just general communication with your partners, as well as communication specifically about sexuality. And communication levels are also typically higher in individuals in committed relationships compared to those who are in more casual relationships. And sexual and relationship satisfaction are also both typically higher in committed relationships. This is stuff that, you know, that we already know. We also know that a lot of the communication that individuals do with each other does not necessarily happen in direct verbal communication. So people communicate in lots of, you know, different ways that aren't necessarily direct verbal communication, including things like eye contact, facial expressions, auditory nonverbal, so things like moaning or sighing or, you know, those types of things. And silence as well can communicate a lot of information, you know, even though we're not specifically speaking. And so we know that this is also found in several different parts of the literature around sexuality. So specifically within condom negotiation, we, you know, the literature shows that oftentimes it's not a direct verbal communication, like, would you like to use a condom? I would like to use a condom. Okay, let's get a condom. Oftentimes, you know, that negotiation just happens that somebody presents the condom and it's, okay, I guess that's what we're doing. I guess that's what we're using. It's also, you know, true that we find this in the consent research as well. So Dr. Juskowski's work really shows a lot that particularly within college students, a lot of the communication about consent is not direct verbal communication. Would you like to have sex with me? I would like to have sex with you. Okay, let's have sex. A lot of it doesn't happen that way. There are nonverbal cues that, you know, indicate to somebody that, yes, you know, this partner is willing to have sex, and so, you know, forward we go with that activity. And so the purpose of my study really was to determine the primary communication styles, so both of yourself and also of your partner, and whether or not those communication styles are typically, you know, verbal or nonverbal, and looking at this across both committed and casual sexual relationships. Additionally, exploring the sexual health outcomes associated with both verbal and nonverbal communication during sex with sex partners. So the methods for this, it was an online survey that was posted on university newswires, email listservs, social media websites, and through word of mouth. They assessed a link through an email or a posting, which took them to an informed consent page, and then along to the survey after they consented. And so the relevant measures for this particular talk included them indicating their relationship with their current or most recent sexual partner. So they were asked, you know, to specifically focus on either their current sexual partner or their most recent sexual partner if they didn't currently have someone. There were a couple of different communication measures, including sexual communication satisfaction and also verbal and nonverbal communication during sex, both for yourself and then also your ratings of your partner's use of verbal and nonverbal communication. Also measured relationship satisfaction, sexual satisfaction, and then the sexual want and get discrepancy. And so really what this is looking at a list of 24 different sexual activities where individuals rated how often they would like to be engaging in this behavior with their partner and how often they actually were. And so from that, I calculated a discrepancy score by taking, you know, how often they want it and subtracting how often they're getting it, where, you know, ideal match between that would be a zero. So then we have perfect match between how often you want it and how often you get it. So within the participants that I used, I recruited sort of from two different populations. One was through university students, where I collected the data through classes they were offered, you know, extra credit for participating, and also through a university newswire posting that was sent around. And then what had intended to be a general population sample, where these were really recruited through social media, through word of mouth, postings on websites and things like that. And what I really found from this recruitment was that it was mostly people who were either interested in sexuality research or had some sort of, you know, vested interest in, you know, in participating in sexuality research, right? So it was not really what I would consider to be the typical general population. Usually, I think mostly because of where the people found these things. You know, they found them on sexuality websites, they found them, you know, on listservs related to sexuality research and those types of things. So just that's a caution that it's probably not really representative of a general typical, you know, population. For the purpose of these analyses, I did restrict the participants to those whose current or most recent sex partner was within the last 12 months. So I considered that to be, you know, hopefully narrowing down some of the biases that we see in, you know, in retrospective reporting, like, you know, recall bias and all of those different types of things. I, you know, conducted some descriptive analyses, looked at some comparisons between casual and committed sex partners on these different measures of communication. And then I also calculated a paired verbal and nonverbal score as well. So what I was really interested in was not only are people more likely to use verbal communication or more likely to use nonverbal communication, but does the matching of those communication styles matter? So if I prefer to use direct verbal communication, but my partner, you know, really relies on nonverbal communication, does that discrepancy cause issues or does that impact sexual satisfaction? Versus if we both, you know, are on board with nonverbal communication, like we just get each other and, you know, that's all good. So that was one of the things I was looking at there. And then, as I had mentioned before, for the SWAGD scale, the discrepancy on their actual sexual activities, I took how often they wanted it and subtracted how often they actually engage in that behavior. So after restricting the sample, I had overall 433 participants. The majority were U.S. residents. I did have about almost, you know, 9% of Canadian and then 10% of other countries. The majority of them, you know, were from Europe. The majority of the sample was female, primarily white. Majority was young, between 18 and 30 years old. And the majority did identify as heterosexual, though I had about 11% bisexual, 6% lesbian or gay, and then the remaining identifying as either trans, queer, questioning, etc. For categorizing their most recent sexual partner, I took these were the different categories that participants were provided with to indicate their relationship. A serious exclusive partner. I also asked separately about a serious exclusive partner that's who this was the last time I had sex with them, but they are no longer my current partner. Then exclusive casual partner, I described non-exclusive casual partner, friends with benefits, hookup or booty call, consensual non-monogamy. Previous partner was, you know, sex with the ex. So yes, this was my ex-boyfriend or girlfriend, but they were also my ex-boyfriend or girlfriend at the time of last sex. And then new acquaintance, somebody that I just met. And so this is how that was determined to be either casual or committed relationships. In looking at some of the differences in communication and satisfaction for those in committed relationships and casual relationships, you can see in both verbal and nonverbal, the ratings of your own use of verbal and nonverbal communication didn't differ between casual and committed partners. The ratings of your partner's verbal and nonverbal use did differ. So those with casual partners typically said that their partner's use of verbal and nonverbal communication was lower than those in committed relationships. Within the paired verbal and nonverbal communication, there were no differences there. So those in casual relationships were not more likely to be using different types of communication than their partner was. So there was no significant difference there. I did see a significant difference in the communication scores, that satisfaction communication. So overall, those in committed relationships reported that they were having more communication with their partners. Additionally, sexual satisfaction was higher, relationship satisfaction was higher in those with committed relationships, and then sexual discrepancy was lower in those with committed sexual partners, which is what we would expect to see, right? So this is where lower is better. Zero is a perfect connection between what you want and what you're getting. Then from there, I just basically looked at some correlations. I was wondering if, this type of communication was related to sexual satisfaction and things like that. And indeed, the majority of these things were related to each other. So both your own verbal and nonverbal communication, your partner's nonverbal and verbal communication were all significantly positively related to both sexual satisfaction and relationship satisfaction, and negatively related to those discrepancies in the activities that you want and that you're actually getting. Likewise, for those differences in, the paired verbal and nonverbal communication, those were negatively related to sexual satisfaction and also to relationship satisfaction, and were positively associated with having more discrepancy in the activities that you want and the activities that you get. So if we are not using the same language to communicate, I'm also not likely to be doing the sexual activities that I want to as often as I want them. Generally, communication, satisfaction communication, positively related to sexual satisfaction and relationship satisfaction, negatively related to those activity discrepancies, and then, of course, sexual and relationship satisfaction were related to each other as well. So overall, just from looking at this sort of descriptive data, people do rate their casual partners' communication lower than with committed partners. This was true both for verbal and nonverbal satisfaction, and also just for general satisfaction communication. There was no difference in ratings of your own verbal and nonverbal communication with your partners, whether you were in a committed or a casual relationship, and there were no significant differences in those paired communication as well, both for verbal or nonverbal. So this is really one of the first studies to look at both your own use of verbal and nonverbal communication and a partner's use of verbal and nonverbal communication during sex. There are differences in your own and your partner's use of verbal and nonverbal communication that were related to relationship satisfaction, sexual satisfaction, and discrepancies in the activities that you want to engage in and that you actually are engaging in. So I think it's important going forward that we recognize the role of both verbal and nonverbal communication in sexual satisfaction. We typically think about that direct verbal communication, but we know it doesn't always happen that way. And I think that, we need to explore some differences in communication styles being verbal and nonverbal. Does it differ based on, the situation that you're in? Does it differ based on, the relationship type? Does it differ based on different situations or different experiences? Does it differ based on who that actual partner is? So we don't have a lot of information about that right now. And are these, use of verbal and nonverbal communication styles a personality trait, or are they more sort of situation specific? Future directions, within the data that I have right now, I'd like to go forward with teasing out some of those gender and potentially sexual orientation differences. I did analyze the whole data set together at this point in time. We'll move on with doing some more complex analyses of the relationships between all of these variables together to get a whole picture. Going forward with qualitative research to better understand these experiences. Are individuals aware that our communication, or that our partners and we are using different communication styles, or is it something that, doesn't really register? And then doing additional data collection with diverse populations and including questions about culture around sexuality and communication, about gender and power, and to better sort of understand these different communication styles and what may be leading people to use these different styles. And I think it's particularly important maybe to tease out and look at women's sexual communication. I think that women may be particularly less likely to use direct verbal communication, you know, that they may be considered to be promiscuous, that they are directly saying, I would like to engage in this, you know, sexual activity, and I would like you to do this specific thing, you know, to me, or do it this way. That shouldn't, women just shouldn't want sexual activity. They shouldn't be wanting, you know, certain things within sex, shouldn't know what they want, and shouldn't be voicing what they want. I think these are all, you know, sort of ideas that we need to be cognizant of and think about going forward within the research. So that was all. Thank you. I know I am out of time, but I'm happy to answer any questions that you have at the end. Thank you.